Today's gospel is from Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 10, found on page 848 in the Bible at your pews, seats. Jesus heals a crippled woman on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leaders said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on one of those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My dad was watching The Builder. We were able to build a home in Whitefish, Montana. And they had finished pouring the foundation, and they were putting the framing on the basement walls. And the main builder had a helper that day. And they were cutting the studs to complete the wall. And one of them was measuring out, this helper was measuring out what needed to be measured. And then the builder was making the cuts. My dad noticed that this helper had a crink in his tape measure. And I don't know why he didn't say anything, but he wasn't that kind of person. He didn't want to interfere with their process. Well, come to find out, when they finished the entire wall, it was off balance, off level. And so they had to go around and prop up each part of the wall with a little shim to make sure that the wall and the basement was actually level for the next floor. Well, that was his last day of work. He did not get his job back. Having that crink in the tape measure made enough difference that it made the wall not right, not straight. When you write a wall, you stand it up. You use a level. You brace it up. And then when you nail it in place, it's level, and that makes it strong. If a wall is not level, it's going to have the pressure of gravity pushing down on it the entire time. Have you ever wanted life to be as simple as building a wall? You measure, you cut, you put it together, you stand it up, you level it, and voila! Wouldn't that be nice if life was like that? But life is actually a lot more crooked than that, isn't it? It's like wanting to drive to Mesa, and the people you're visiting are right on the other side of Red Mountain. And if you could just drive straight there, it'd probably take you 10 minutes. But instead, you got to go all the way around the beeline, go down Gilbert Road, and then cut over on the 202. It takes you like 30 minutes. Well, that's a crooked line to get where you want to go. There's always a scenic route. There's always a long way home. If you're my dad, you could take a shortcut. And those shortcuts always meant exploring some logging road in the middle of nowhere to see where it turned up. And then it would take you three times longer to get where you were going. That was his kind of shortcuts. But a crooked line that I'm talking about isn't just about driving, is it? Life gets crooked. A death rocks your world. There's a move, a job change, or you lose your job. You get sick. A relationship ends, or your loved one gets sick. All those things are what I mean by a crooked line. And Jesus writes straight in a crooked line. As you saw today's message title, you may think, geez, he doesn't know how to spell. It should be W-R-I-T, right? No, I want it to be writing straight, because that's what he does. He straightens out what is crooked and he stands it up. He squares things up for us, and that's what Jesus does. In Hebrews, the writer is describing the old and the new covenants. The old was a mountain of fear that people were afraid to approach God for doing it wrong, whereas the new mountain is the good news of the joy of Christ, the gospel, the forgiveness that he gives. Now, if I were to sum up the Jewish faith in one word, I would say rules. Rules. You see, the Jewish faith, the law, was given as a gift, understandably. The Decalogue, which are the 10 words or the 10 commandments as we describe them, were given to people who were slaves. They didn't know how to live. And so these words, these commandments, were the gift of life to them because they didn't know how to live as free men and women. In Exodus 20 is God giving them the tools for life, how to live in relation to God. I mean, worship him. Don't take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath. How to live with other people. Honor your parents. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Bear false witness or covet. The laws were meant to be followed to give life. But there was ambiguity in the law, the Jews realized. And so as they studied the Torah, which are the first five books of Moses, they found actually 613 laws that needed to be obeyed for good reason, to follow God. But there is still ambiguity and debate among the teachers and the priests as to what activities were actually permissible on, for example, the Sabbath. And it was like playing a constant game of what if. Well, what if this happened? What would you do? And these were especially prevalent around Sabbath laws. So they needed more explanation. Those teachings then were added to the 613 laws. What was added was called rabbinic halakha. And those were meaning the ways to walk. So the laws were given, 613, and then there are more rules about how to walk in Christ or in God. So for the average Jewish believer, faith was not simple. It was complicated. And it was complicated because you never knew if you were going to do it right. And the life of faith felt like walking in a crooked line. So many rules to remember and follow, and that would lead to fear of doing it wrong. This is what the book of Hebrews is describing. The old covenant made them afraid of God, afraid of breaking the rules because they felt they were assumed guilty, not innocent until proven guilty. And that's where the Pharisees had you, because they knew the rules and they enforced the rules. Influencing today's reading, a lot of Jesus' miracles took place on the Sabbath. Jesus did it to correct bad teachings about the Sabbath. There's some examples of him teaching on the Sabbath and healing on the Sabbath. Mark 2, when the disciples were hungry, they picked grain in the fields, if you remember that. And he was accused of teaching his disciples to be Sabbath breakers because they picked grain, which is a work, not rest. And Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath rules were crooked. I don't mean illegal, just hard to decipher, confusing and inconsistent. Jesus had this amazing way of writing straight in a crooked line. He summed up all the law in four words: love God, love people. That's simple, but they made it much more complicated. So today he's teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And a woman was there, it says, who has been crippled for 18 years by a spirit. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. Now, I knew a man named John. He wasn't crippled by a spirit, but he had an incredibly bad back. And he was in my first congregation, and he walked like this, literally. And he looked around, and he could not straighten his back. But the amazing thing about John is he was such a servant. He would come in and do whatever he could, like this. He made stained glass pictures and frames. It was beautiful works of art. And he wasn't, he said, in pain until he tried to straighten up. So he liked this position because that was his happy place where there's no pain. So today's account, he stops mid-sermon and he addresses this woman. He calls her forward. I wonder if this was kind of a sermon illustration, or if it was just that he saw her and said, it's time for your infirmity to be ended. I love that baby sound. Yay. Good to have you here, Shel. And, she was called forward and he put his hands on her and he straightened her up. You can visualize that. He touched her and then she straightened up and said she praised God immediately. Indignant, the Pharisees were, that he healed on the Sabbath, they said, there are 6 days of work. Come and be healed on one of those days, not on the Sabbath, to which Jesus calls them a hypocrite, rightly, because they would give their ox or donkey water on the Sabbath, technically a work, but they wouldn't care about this woman. He called out their hypocrisy, their inconsistencies, and their lack of compassion. It says at the end of today's scripture, when he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but all the people were delighted for the wonderful things he was doing. The beginning of chapter 12, it says he was teaching to thousands of people. And this miracle must have shot his approval rating even higher among the people. You see, Jesus writes straight in a crooked line. I wonder, what is the point of this story? Now, if there is a point, the miracle in itself is an amazing point that this woman was set free from her infirmity, and we can celebrate that this woman who was crippled for 18 years was now whole and standing upright and praising God. That's a wonderful takeaway. But there's some things that makes me wonder about this passage, what it's meant to do, because we know Jesus is full of compassion, that's evident here. But he could have healed her on another day, and then there wouldn't have been this big controversy about Sabbath healings. Because according to the rabbinic law, if a healing was an emergency, then it was fine to do on the Sabbath. Someone had a heart attack, or they were bleeding out, or whatever, that would be something you could do on the Sabbath. But if it's something that could wait a day or two, don't do it on the Sabbath. That's why he's in trouble. But healing, I wonder, why is healing a work at all? Isn't that God's doing solely? That God would be the healer? So it's not really an effort on the part of the person, is it? Yet healing, so I think Jesus is making a point here about healing on the Sabbath, because he heals 7 times on the Sabbath, it's recorded in the Gospels. He's demonstrating that compassion, and he's demonstrating compassion, and that compassion is more important than law, more important than rules. He's not only straightening the path for this woman by straightening her back, he's straightening out faith for the people. Jesus declares that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the rules. He shows them the right way. He writes straight in a crooked line. Mark 3 is another place where he healed on the Sabbath. In that context, there was a man with a shriveled hand. And he asked this question, which is a great question, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And they didn't answer him. And so he told the man, stretch out your hand. And he did, and he was completely healed. As I mentioned previously, the laws in Jesus' time were these rabbinic halakha, which means ways to walk. You see, they interpreted the Torah, and it wasn't intentionally to burden the people down with excessive rules. It was to show them how to joyfully walk their faith, because they were the people of God, and they were given this book, this law, these words from God himself. In fact, so much of the Bible celebrates the Word of God, like Psalm 119. The longest psalm in the Bible, it has every verse celebrating the law. Things like this, verses 9 to 16. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise to you, God. Teach me your decrees. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Later in that psalm, he says, your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. So Jesus is declaring that he's the Lord of the Sabbath, and he's rejecting all the man-made Sabbath halakha. He freed the Sabbath from human restrictions and encumbrances and restored it by showing its universal importance for everyone, every person that can be beneficiary to the divine intentions of what God intended of the Sabbath, that it was a day of rest, a day of joy. The rabbinic halakha had made the Sabbath, which was intended to be about rest and joy, so crooked. So Jesus here writes straight in a crooked line. It's funny how we can get our thinking so convoluted and crooked, isn't it? My internship pastor would call that stinking thinking. I think that's kind of good. When you kind of are mixed up about what's good and right and the way to go, and you just get caught up in a cycle of negativity, trying to turn something that could be good into a burden because you're thinking about it way too much, that's stinking thinking. Like the commandment, it's for rest and joy. Remember the Sabbath day. As a teenager, we lived 7 miles from the Big Mountain, which is a ski resort. And as a high school student, the thing I wanted to do on Sunday was go skiing. But our church had an 8 o'clock worship service, and my parents insisted, if you're going to go skiing, you got to go to church too. So I went to church every Sunday at 8 o'clock, and then right after service, I bolted out of there and went skiing. It was never any worse for that. Although I probably didn't have the best attitude sitting in worship, it didn't do me any harm. In fact, as I came to look back on it, it gave me a lot of perspective. It gave me faith. It gave me rest and joy. And that I could understand that I could be given by God a great day of skiing on the mountain. Sabbath rules can get obsessive. My wife, Chris, had a roommate, a housemate in college, who was very, very, from a very strict religious background. And they were very strict at their Sabbath laws or rules. So much so that they said, you will not work on the Sabbath. And this girl was in college. And so she would play all day. And then at midnight, she'd crack the books and start doing her homework. Doesn't make a lot of sense. That's a very strict and rigid way to understand Sabbath. That's stinking thinking, a crooked line. My brothers in Nicaragua tell me about people who see God as a tyrant, who punishes them if only they could do more good. He would bless them if they were better, but that's a crooked line. Because Scripture says, it's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not from ourselves, but the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. Salvation is a gift. It's not something we can earn. Another crooked line is being afraid of God. Hebrews says our God is a consuming fire, which means there is a refining process as God works in us. He purifies our desires, and he also forgives our sins. Instead of being afraid, we are to fear God, which means to reverence him, to see we can stand in awe of him because he's holy. That's worship. So the question I want to close with today is, what needs straightening today for you? Where have you had some stinking thinking? Where has life gone crooked? Both the woman bent over for 18 years and the man with the shriveled hand had to learn to live with their ailment. But Jesus had another plan for them. Is there something you've been living with for such a long time that needs to experience the healing light of Christ? You see, Jesus writes straight in a crooked line. Is there a darkness within you that you need to bring into the light to have it illuminated? Jesus writes straight in a crooked line. Has the experience of walking by faith become more of a burden to you than a joy? Let Jesus write straight in a crooked line. What has become crooked, confusing, and uncalled for? Jesus writes straight in a crooked line. Would you pray with me? Oh, Jesus, thank you for writing things, making them correct, helping our understanding. Because we, like the Jews, get caught up on rules. We want to do it right, as they did. But God, sometimes that desire to do it right gets us thinking the things that are not helpful about you, like that you're a tyrant, that we have to be perfect, that it's all up to us, when you say that salvation and forgiveness are gifts. So thank you today for the example of healing this woman, but also riding straight our stinking thinking, the things that are messed up, and helping us to have rest and joy, especially as we consider the Sabbath, that today would be a day of joy and a day of rest. So thank you for your good word. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.